Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we put our hands together for Jesus?
Amen.
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 A louder one for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has rescued us, the one who has saved us, the one who has called us, the one who has appointed us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Chairman, thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation and also for allowing us to be here. And we are believing God that it is His will that will be done today, tomorrow, through the conference. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Can we share a word of prayer? I know we have been in prayer, but just a short prayer. Father, we are grateful for today. I want you to ask the Lord that the thing that you need to hear that will push your particular church forward, your ministry forward, that thing, you will catch it. Usually it's different for different people. So say, the one that is yours, in all the things that are said, Lord, let me catch it in my heart. Let me catch it in my spirit. Father, we are grateful for today. And as your word comes, I pray, Lord, that it will be a seed. Everyone will catch the particular seed that is for him or for her. That our ministries will be shot forward when we get back. Let that word enter our spirit. Let that word sit in our heart. Let us be able to swallow it. And even now in this room, that you even begin to show us how to work on it and to bring it to pass. I commit my members to you. Have mercy on me, O God. May I only be a vessel, and may you be the one that is seen, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Please take your seat.
Amen.
We thank God for the Empowerment Summit. And a time when pastors can come together, we can be ourselves and just receive for ourselves. Hallelujah. Because every pastor who is impacted, it's to go to so many people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we thank God for what He's doing. Today is our last day with you. And we are here this morning, this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm believing God to bring up a number of things that we can talk about. And this morning, as I was just before the Lord and just talking to Him about today, one of the things that He placed on my heart was that sometimes it's better not to cover so many things.
I thought that He said,
but sometimes it's better to start to go a little deeper. A
little deeper.
In the few things that we have spoken about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is why this morning I want to go back into the children's ministry. For a part of this time together. Just for a portion. After a while, we'll move on. Hallelujah. Because it is from there that the church grows.
As I say, if you are not sorry,
it's from there that the church grows. If the children are not brought up and into the ministry, we can have a beautiful church, we can have a glorious church, but it can fizzle out after a time. Because those who started begin to move out. We all have just an appointed time. Amen.
Amen.
And it is not easy to bring up a whole generation. One of the things that my spiritual father, Bishop Dark, says is that this generation of believers is responsible for this generation of converts and Christians.
My papa, Bishop Dark, said, "Sir, I want to assure you, yeah, Christopher, you are here. Yeah, said, yes, sir.
And so in our churches, we are responsible for what is happening to the others who are coming.
So
I'm going back into my children's books, The Art of Shepherding. And this morning, I want us to go through the responsibilities of a children's church pastor. Because when you go through it, it will make you ask some questions. This morning, as we're coming, you know, we are staying with one of my bishop brothers and the family. As we're coming, I started to ask Reverend Seth some questions. And I said, Reverend Seth, the teachers of your children's church, can they match the standard? And I started to read. According to what he said, no.
So Debbie, Reverend said, so I sorry, Odano. No, besides,
so my prayer is that as you listen to it, it will first of all ginger you to learn the material and then go back and teach your teachers.
Yes, yes, and some way, no, a best show. I'm a was Suyana, Wako, Chirachere, Wachirachere for no, Mochirachere, Mofrana Dieno.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that we turn away from what we have done up until this point. Which is that we have just given somebody who is willing to do the work to the children. But we have not necessarily brought them up. And therefore, I'm taking it direct from this book, which is just like Bishop Dag's books. The verses are inside, the points are inside.
Some of
you said that you wanted to have these books. I believe we have them available. Pastor Dennis, can you help us? Maybe as we are moving around, you can collect your three. I would suggest that you buy the three of them.
Because
what the books are addressing is how to set up that children's church. And then how to carry the work on so that you can get the expected fruit. So please, as they are moving around, please, if you just give them a sign, they will move to you.
Yeah.
I think you can come this way. I'm seeing some hands.
Hallelujah.
And I'm right now in the Art of Shepherding. If you take it, you can put down your notes. Hallelujah. The first thing I'm looking at are the reasons why we should take it seriously. And the first reason is that it is a great responsibility to be the shepherd of children. It is not respected in the church. So the people who pastor may not be seen in the same light as other pastors in the church. But it is a very great responsibility. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 5, Jesus said something. And he said, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name,
receives me.
It It is an awesome responsibility. Now, another reason is because children do not remain children forever. They actually grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They actually grow. And that is, you remember yesterday what the apostle was sharing with us? And he was sharing with us how his son at 3 years old. And now look at him as a
fantastic.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And even though it's a point we know, somehow it's not obvious to us in a way. Now, the time that we have to let the children receive Christ is only about 15 years. Just about 15 years from when they are born to
15.
After 15, they enter another phase of life.
And
they begin to ask certain kinds of questions that don't make it easy for them to receive Christ. I don't know if you are following what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
So from birth till the children are 15, that's the time that we have to let them grow in the faith that we have. After that, it is a much harder fight. And the devil knows this. And that is why now he is attacking the children at younger and younger ages. We say that they are in school. And so we have left them to go to school. What we don't realize at times is that school is one of the most deadly places for a child. We don't have a choice. We have to send them to school. But I need to tell you something. I have counseled a lot of homosexual children. And a mama. All of them. 100% of them. They didn't learn it in the university. They learned it in the SHS. So they didn't learn it in the university. They learned it in the
SHS.
And so if you are waiting for them to look like adults before you start to teach them, we are late. I'm talking to some pastors this morning. This year, the Lord laid something on my heart. We have always witnessed and gone on outreach. Whether you are a child, you are grown up, we go. But this year, he made me remove three of my best pastors. I removed them from all the work they were doing in the church. It really created some problems for me. But I had to obey his instruction. Do you know the job that he gave to me for them to do? I said, go to the SHS. Starting with the SHSs that our children have gone to
start.
Sunday after Sunday, meet them, preach to them, talk to them. If you catch one, preach to him. If you catch 10, preach to them. If you catch 22, preach to them. And it is not easy. The schools have risen up like demons. Even to get in. That's why I'm saying that three of my best pastors, when the school blocks them like this, then they pass this way. When they block them like that, then they pass at all costs, reach the children. Reach to the children. At all costs, mentor the children. Don't leave them. it is expensive.
Because
you are moving. Every Sunday you are moving. Some days they get there, they come back. They said, today didn't work. And I said, it means more prayer.
More prayer.
And then they get in there. Every visiting, every first Sunday is visiting Sunday. When they allow parents to come in, then you see my pastors. They'll enter this place, gather, have a service, preach. Why? It is not work anybody admires or even thinks about. But we have 15 years. If by the time they are 15, you have been able to get them to believe in Jesus Christ, to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you are likely to be able to hold them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is demanding work. I say it is demanding work. And it is possible that you may not have enough pastors to send like that, but if your mind is on them, they become very important to you. And even when they are in school, you organize people to be praying for them at home. Praying for them in the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The next reason. Remember that we are discussing reasons why we should take the pastoring of church children seriously.
It's
because they have become lost and forgotten in the church. They have become lost and forgotten in the church. We know they are there, but many times we've forgotten. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says that for lack of knowledge, my people perish. And the way these young ones are easily forgotten, it becomes the means by which the enemy gets them. And that is why we are looking at the responsibilities. We are about to look at the responsibilities of the person you are choosing to look after your child. First of all, that person has the responsibility of training the children of in God's ways. Many pastors assume that because they are pastors, their children will follow in their footsteps. It's not true. It's not true. Hey, the church is quiet. Even if you are a pastor, your child must have a pastor. You are your child's parent. Not his pastor. What your child will tell his pastor, he will not tell you.
You are preaching good.
What he will tell his pastor, he will not tell you. I have in my head the secrets of many children. But when my youngest son decided he was going to see what a nightclub looks like, he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me. He went with some friends. It was his pastor who he went to tell. When he came back, he was feeling guilty. He sat there for some weeks and he didn't. So he went to his pastor.
He said,
I've done something. I have to tell you what I have done. And he confessed to his pastor that he had gone into a nightclub. His pastor also did not tell me. She dealt with it. It was years later as an adult that my son said, hey, ma, do you know something? When I was in SHS at this level, I decided one day I'm going with my friends to see. I said, hey! By that time, the crisis was over. And you see, it is sometimes better that way. Because when they tell us, our reaction does not necessarily make it better. Our reaction. So sometimes it's better that a pastor has dealt with it, their own pastor. So the question that I have for you this morning, the person that you have put there to look after the children, can they train anybody? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That word train is the word in the Greek, chanak.
Greek as a word, chanak.
Train them in daily quiet time. Train them in recited prayers. Jesus, when his disciples asked him how to pray, he said, recited prayers. It looks like nothing, but it's important. Train them in long hours of prayer. The person you have put there to look after the children, can they train them in prayer? Can they pray long hours? It's a question I'm asking. How much more to train the children? If you are not anointed, you cannot train children. You need to be anointed for that. Yeah. You need to be anointed for that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
They need to be able to train the children. Even when the children are looking uninterested, you are still training them to pray. They are to train them to listen to preaching. I want to ask you whether the teacher you have put in charge of your children even listens to preaching themselves. They cannot give it. What they don't have, they can't give. I said, what they don't have, they can't give. I hope you are seeing the avenue for training. How to train them. They are to train the children to listen to wholesome Christian music. We often say there are seven tests of music. Seven tests to apply to the music if it is a good one to listen to. Amen.
Amen.
Your teacher that you have put there, what kind of music does that teacher listen to?
Hey.
And if they themselves are listening to Stone Boy, do you think they will teach your children how to listen to Christian music?
Hey.
Hey. I'm asking a question. Some of these questions, you may even realize that you don't have the answer. You are not sure. So that's why you have to assemble them and teach them and find out what music do you listen to. Tell them, open your phone. I want to see the music you have saved on your phone. You may get a shock.
Please,
when you ask the question, make sure there's a chair near you so that you can sit down, because you might fall down. When you discover the type of music that your teacher that you have left with your precious ones,
the
type of music they are listening to. Amen.
Amen.
Can I quickly give you the test of music? Can I give that one to you? The first one is that it should be music that talks about Christ. Or it should be music that can get somebody saved. It must be music that you can believe what is being sung about. It must be music that helps in your righteousness. It must be music that helps to build your faith. And it can also be music with direct references to the Bible. When you teach the children, when you train them how to listen, they themselves will begin to correct themselves. Oh, I remember a young boy. I was going to have a camp with young people. Between the ages of 14 and 18, 18, 19. And this boy had just come back from SHS. And he didn't want to come to the camp. And his mother made him come. And I remember this boy. When he came, you know how they can make their face? Squeeze the face and pull the mouth. So we arrived at the camp in the evening. The following morning, I told the children, we are fasting from 6 to 12. And we are going to pray. And we're going to learn how to pray. I remember this boy. He stood with his arms folded against the pillar. But as the prayer was going on, I watched as he began to pray. He began to catch up and to pray.
Amen. Amen.
And then we began to talk about different things, including the kind of music. Trying to bring them up in the things of God. I remember this boy. I will tell you why I remember him. The camp ended on Saturday and we went home. On Sunday morning, he came to me at church. And this boy said to me, I have always loved music. I have always loved music. But now I have understood. As a Christian, the music I have is not good for me. In those days, music, you know, the CD, that's what he had. He had a pile of CDs like this. And he said, if it is not good for me, it's not good for my friends. And with his hand, he took it and he struck the CDs and he cracked the whole thing. I'm happy to tell you that that young boy today is a 35-year-old man, married with two children, and he's a pastor in the church. Hallelujah. You want to be able to grow your church. Your children are a key. Your children. And they are the ones we are discussing, and I'm sharing with you how to be careful about the people you put in charge of them. They cannot give the children what they don't have. So I was talking to you about their responsibility. So their first responsibility is training. The next responsibility that they have is to recognize these children as the next generation of Christians. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to read a statement here because I cannot think of a better way to say it. It says, the state of a generation is a product of what the generation before consciously or unconsciously taught them or allowed.
I want to assure you,
consciously or unconsciously. So in other words, if this generation of children is falling to we smoking, if they have fallen to shisha smoking, if they have fallen to attire drinking, if they have fallen to homosexuality, if they have fallen to loose living and not loving church, consciously or unconsciously, that's what we have taught them. And yes, but either we didn't know, our mind didn't come on it. So either consciously, we were conscious or we unconscious. Of course, we have not taken them and said, come and smoke weed. But by how we have done our things. That's how come they have been able to learn those things. And that is a realization that our teachers in the children's church must have. The people that you have can be
handy.
The next one. That children's church pastor must know that he or she has the responsibility to recruit fearless soldiers of the cross. They will be recruiting the children as fearless soldiers of the cross. Who will defend the cause of Christ even as children? Because Psalm 8 and verse 2 says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings have you ordained strength because of the enemies. That your enemy, that they might still the enemy and the avenger. If your children's church pastor herself or himself is not a fearless soldier of Christ, can they teach the children?
Yay!
Are we seeing our work clearly in front of us? Are we seeing our work clearly? The next job for the church, the children's church pastor, is to make Christianity attractive and enjoyable for the children.
Amen.
Amen. We need to understand that the enemy is targeting the children. And he's doing it through a lot of entertainment and things like that. And in order to make the children's church interesting, some of us have gone into the ways of the world. But we need to know and understand that what we have is enough for them. The word of God is enough for them. We can make the word of God interesting to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am reminded of something we used to call sword drill. I don't know if you remember it, Apostle. They love it. They love it.
One time
we had this competition in the church. The young people were, the children were there, and the adults were there. When you say the book of Habakkuk, who do you think opened first, an adult or a child? Because the people who had taught them had made it interesting to them. And children like those things. So within the house, within the church, there are things they love. Another thing that they used to love was, I quote, you quote. It's a game. Until one of them gets
standing.
Hey, then the other one has
one.
But now, they are learning the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't have to go into the ways of the things of the world.
Amen.
Even though I have older children with me, I still call them children. Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, there's a short drama, 5 minutes. And it is acted by some of them. And we call them the film stars. Instead of going to look at Sini that is not doing you good, there's a Sini right here in the church.
Right here.
And it is working. I said it is working. It is helping. Let us put our strength there. You are the main pastor of the church. But you can train the person representing you with the student, with the children. Train them until they get it right. Train them until they get it right. If they are not getting it right, change them and get some other people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't leave your children for people who themselves are empty. They themselves are empty. They will make your child empty. Amen.
Amen.
The pastor has the responsibility of making the children eternity minded. Jesus was 12 years old when he showed that he was heaven-minded.
In Luke chapter 2,
when his parents were looking for him, he said they did not know that he would be about his
father. At 12, he was already
heaven-minded. If the teacher that you have placed there herself or himself is not thinking about heaven, can they teach your child?
Wow.
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 The next one. I'm talking about the responsibilities of your children's church pastor. The person who you call your Sunday school
pastor.
They have the responsibility to train the children in Christian work. John chapter 9 and verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man
is.
I need to tell you that some of the people who run and go and look after their children, it is because they don't like Christian work. That's why they are there.
Very
quiet this morning. They don't like it, so they have run away.
themselves there.
If that is what you have there, how will they teach the children Christian
way?
Because the children are well able to win souls. Their own mate, their own level. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, behold, I and the children who the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. But many of us pastors, we are the only ones in our home who are for the Lord.
It's
only when we force that we are able to force them to do to come and do something for the Lord. But you cannot force forever. They also need to have something inside of them that makes them want to do the work of God. The children are also for signs and wonders. And so the person who is placed there must be somebody who can train them in the work of the Lord. I tell you, children are a fantastic witness. Children are a fantastic witness for the Lord. We train our children. We say, just talk to your friends. We are going on outreach. We are going to this area. You see them talking to people like themselves. But I remember one day when something special happened. As they were going around, it was an outreach to children in an area. One child saw a certain older man. An old man who was sitting outside his house. The child said that the Lord pricked his heart that he should share Jesus with the old man. So he went and he started to talk to the old man. And he started to share the gospel with the old man.
And
of course, as you expect, the old man was like, this young boy is not serious at all. But in a few minutes, two of his friends who were also part of the outreach team, they saw him, so they came to join him. So now these three young boys were standing with the older man. The man was sitting. And they began to share with him. This one will bring one scripture and share. This one will bring another. This one will bring a third. The man said, hey. Hey, stop. What you are saying? Please leave me. I will pray it. And the man gave his life to Christ. He gave his life to Christ. And we found out because he went with the children to find their pastor who was with them in the area. He said, hey, Shofu, your children have convinced me. I have also given my life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are well able. That's why in many churches, the children's church is bigger than the adult church. You just give them a place. They will be more than you. Oh, I can see you are very quiet. You don't like a lot of children. You don't like a lot of children. I tell you, and there must be more. It's a sign that your future is solid. I remember when we were in
Koligono.
A time came when the children's church was 2,000 strong.
There
were 2,000. And I remember that they couldn't fit in the rooms. And there was this, we call it the tower with rooms up. They filled all of them and they were sitting on the stairs.
Sunday,
you cannot even get to the administration block because of those children. I'm happy to inform you that those children are the ones today in the First Love Center, a church with 25,000. They are the bishops there, they are the pastors there, they are the leaders there. Out of those 2,000 children.
Bishop Dag, I saw the First Love.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because children grow.
I didn't hear if you said my friend.
Children grow. And so what they learned, they kept it. And they
are
grown with it. Because they were pastored. Man of God, get somebody to pastor your children. Train them until they are trained. Hallelujah. And I tell you, you will enjoy the fruit even before. You will enjoy the fruit even before their time arrives to take over. You will be enjoying the fruit.
Oh, yes.
I remember a young girl who was in my children's church. I used to pray over her because things were so difficult. She was from an extremely poor home.
A
place where school fees was a problem.
School fees daily food was a problem.
It's a long story I cannot tell. But I have to tell you something. She stayed with the Lord. Not only did she remain a Christian, she married a Christian. And God blessed them. She became a very wealthy woman. I didn't even know. And one day I was there. And I got a phone call. Remember that now she's an adult. She had moved.
They said
I got a call.
Phone call.
And the call, mommy.
No, friend, mommy.
Do you have chairs in your church? I laughed. I said, look, it is one of my problems. I hire so many chairs. Hey, Apostle. Have you seen articulator containing chairs before?
Hey, Debbie.
Articulator. She sent me an articulator of proper chairs.
I
said, Lord, I am eating the fruit of my sheep.
Hey, me dear,
Lord says that the sheep are for your provision. The sheep are for your provision.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
I didn't
when
this
you look about after them as children, they will never forget you. The adults may forget, but the children never forget. My mother passed away some years ago. And I was in my house with my father trying to organize the funeral. And then I got a call from eight of them. These eight, I used to close my office. I'd sit with them after church. And I would teach them. And I said, you're going to be shepherds of them. They were children. But now they had grown up. And in my time of difficulty, I got a call from the leader of the eight. And he said, mommy, we have all taken off from work. We are on our way to your house. They painted my father's house. They organized the place. During the funeral, I didn't have to organize any. My father kept asking me, who are these people?
Where are they from?
I said, I used to pastor them.
Now they are men.
At the end of the funeral, when they came to say goodbye at the end of the funeral, then they came to me. They said, mommy, we have an offering for you. I said, oh, all the things you have done, you have saved me so much money. What offering again? Then they started. This one said, I remember. I was 13 years old. I was on my way to school. Nobody had ever bought me a tin of sardines. But you bought me two sardines and two milk. And I went to school.
This one spoke.
God has prospered us. You must eat of the prosperity. I tell you, by the time they finished, I was weeping like a baby. But I have to ask you, did I collect the offering? I didn't collect. I collected it. And I spoke blessings over them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your children are waiting for you. Your children are waiting for you. Find proper people. Train them yourself. And put them there to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You are teaching good.
Wow. I'm trying to finish soon, at least this segment.
Hallelujah.
The person has the responsibility of feeding God's children. To feed children with God's word is not the same as feeding adults. When you get there, you are a dull person, borrowing an anointing, it will not work. You need an anointing to teach them. And that's why I'm hoping that you can see that the people who you have there maybe are not up to
their
time. But a child who is well fed in the scriptures is like a child who is well fed at home. When you are well fed at home, you'll be passing watch and you don't feel like eating it. You'll not feel like eating it. Somebody's kena and shito will be smelling in your nose, but you have eaten at home, so you are full. When your children in your church are spiritually full, when people come with the words of the world, they are not even attracted. The music of the world, they have their own. They are not attracted. So many problems will fall away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many children that you see, church children, pastors' children, we see them doing what they are doing because they are not full. And that is why they are falling. My last scripture for today, for this segment. 1 Samuel 17:34-35. I believe that this scripture is giving us one scripture that is describing something about these people who must look after the children. It says, David said unto Saul,
David catcher Saul said,
thy servant kept his father's sheep.
Now,
and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against
me,
I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
David was a shepherd boy.
David, you
I want you to take note that when the lion and the bear came, they did not come for the sheep. They came for the lamb.
Why?
Because the lamb is the easy to catch one. Cannot run as fast as the older ones. The lamb is easily frightened. The lamb is easily confused. And Satan the lion knows it, and Satan the bear knows it. And that's why today they have targeted the children. But all the house of God needs leaders like David. When you come for the lamb, they will go after the person and they will take the lamb from the mouth of the
lamb.
Somebody who will say, I will not stop. I will not stop. I will not leave it. Today, with a church of 25,000 in one service, Bishop Doug's son is the resident pastor. I'm sorry. He's the resident pastor. He is not resident pastor because he is Bishop Doug's son. No. He is the resident pastor because he had a pastor called Bishop Okobotaidoku. When he was in SHS, he began to backslide. He said he liked the girls.
No,
and he liked things. But he had a pastor. He himself testified. He said, my pastor visited me more than my parents. He said one time when his pastor came, he wasn't happy to see the pastor at all. Because now he was doing yo-yo things. And his friends were giving him fans. And his pastor was talking to him. And he was doing, you know what the young people do when they don't want to listen. His pastor remembered an instruction that Bishop Dag had given him. Bishop Dag had told him, these are my two sons, they are too much for you. If you love me, you beat them for me. He said, when his pastor visited him and he was doing the things, he said he does not know where his pastor's hand came from. He said his nyansa came back into his head. But he did not stop. Another time he said he had gone to some classroom. He was in the classroom with some young girl that he was rapping. And his pastor came on another visit. Oh my God. And he said, he was surprised. Before he was aware, who is walking on the corridor? That's his pastor.
Oh yeah,
his pastor entered the classroom. Took a chair, sat down, and said to the young lady, I am Joshua's pastor.
No, catch him Bishop Dag Barwano.
Going to remove his lamb from the mouth of the lion and the mouth of the bear. May the Lord bless our ministries with people. Pastor, after you gather them, you teach them, you pour oil, you anoint them, may they go back and teach your children, rescue your children, chase away the enemy and bring the children into the house. So we stand to our feet and just pray for a few minutes. Please rise up and let's pray.
Pray
for your children's
children's pastor. Children's pastor.
That same children's pastor was my children's pastor. Today, my first son is a bishop of the First Love Church. In
First Love Church.
In Madagascar.
I was Madagascar.
The day he was appointed,
I
went to Bishop Oko. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for teaching them. Thank you for raising them. Thank you for making them love God. Thank you for making them do the work. Thank you for making them change God. That's why my children are pastors. Lift up your voice. Somebody must help you. Somebody must watch over your children. Somebody must pray over them. Pray over them. Pray over them. God, give us men and women of prayer who will spend all night praying over the children in the church by name, praying over them, keeping them from witchcraft, keeping them from wizards, binding the enemy, oh God. People who will love them, who will help them, Lord, who will teach them the way of God, who will call them to love you, Lord, who will teach them to win souls, who will bring them into the house, who will make church sweet to them, who will make them love you, Lord. Give us such teachers, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. So many of our children have fallen away. Raise up pastors. Raise up helpers. Raise up ladies. Raise up gentlemen. People who will keep them. People with the spirit of David.
Oh yes. Spirit of David.
Pray for a few more minutes. Pray for a few more minutes. Ah, that the spirit of David will come upon your children's church leaders. Ah, they will run after them. They'll run after them. They'll run after them. They'll run after them. They'll keep them. They'll snatch them from the lion. They'll snatch them from the bear. They'll slaughter the lion. They'll take them out of the false churches they are falling into. Lift up your voice and pray this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus name. Jesus name.